Welcome to Hellas Footy Podcast, episode 31. A bit of a midweek cup special episode. I'm your host, George. We'll get started. Steve, how are you?
As I said to you before the recording, before we started recording, George, I'm very cold because it's -4, -5 here in North London, but I'm all right. I'm all right other than that.
Yeah. Ah, nice. Yeah, it is a bit cold. A friend of mine sent me a photo. -5 over there, so I don't. It gets cold in Sydney, but it doesn't get that cold here. So, well, it was raining the other day, and today the sun's out. So, who knows? Who knows what's going on? Anyway, it's just the two of us today. So, we've got a bit of a midweek cup special episode today, and then we're going to revert back to just the weekly episode. But I thought the last couple of weeks, because the round of cup matches was an interesting one, we thought we'd dedicate, sorry, a podcast of its own to the cup. Anyway, we'll get started. First match, Atromitos 4-0 over Larissa, and a 5-1 aggregate win overall. Trimatis opened up the scoring in the 39th minute. Angelski doubled the lead in the 50th minute. 56th minute, Papagiorgiou got sent off for Larissa. And then two late goals to Tsakmakis and Vergos wrapped up the scoring in that match there. So, bit of an academic score. I think everyone probably thought that that would have been the case, that they would have won anyway. But Michael, being the big Larissa fan, Steve, he wasn't too pleased with, I guess, the referees, and that's a topic that we always discuss in this podcast.
Yes. Well, there
He.
was no VAR controversy in the Greek Cup because VAR is not active in the Greek Cup. I don't know if it gets active like in the final or not. I don't think it does. But yeah, I two penalty decisions that Michael felt that Larissa should have got and weren't given, and from the still images, yeah, it looks like pretty typical of something you'd see in, well, not just Greek football but football in general recently, of things that are not being given that
Yeah.
maybe could have been.
I think we might. I'll get Michael to post those pictures up just out of curiosity, just to get what people's perspective are. Because, yeah, look, they're pretty clear cut, those non-calls. And like he said, he goes, the odds are always against them qualifying to begin with, but it's not. I think it goes past that, because when, again, your team's got an uphill battle to qualify or to win the match anyway. And then you're getting decisions like that come up against you. It's always hard. But yeah, I'll get him to post them up to see what the go is there, and see what people, what the pundits and all the fans, I guess not pundits, what the fans think of those decisions there. Moving on to the other matches, Galicia and Panetolikos had a 2-2 draw. Panetolikos progressed 5-4 on aggregate there. So, Duarte and Anor opened up the scoring for Panathinaikos early in the match in the 7th and 12th minutes. Loukinas pulled one back for the home side in the 36th minute, and then they got a goal in the 91st minute to Torres, but that wasn't enough, with a red card at the end there for them. So Panathinaikos just scraped through against Galicia there. I guess Galicia are one of those teams that are doing all right. They've got a good little setup there, and they're just trying to crack into the big leagues there. So it was a good test for Panathinaikos. Probably not the result that they wanted, but they progressed through nonetheless there. Sorry, did I stuff that up? No. No, no, no.
No,
Sorry. No, 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 no.
that happened yesterday.
Yeah. No, I'm losing my marbles a little bit. Offie and Kifisia had a 1-1 draw. And Offie progressed 4-2 on aggregate there. Kifisia opened up the scoring in the first half to Constantakopoulos. Oh, that's a good Greek name. And Luis Felipe pulled one back and equalised in the 93rd minute there for that match. So Offie progressed through on that one there. Panserraikos 0, bulk, Steve, pumping there 4-0. Nasberg, Sastre, Antonio, Zivkovic got the goals in this match here, with a missed penalty in between as well. You can't help but be impressed with this side, eh?
Yep, and look, this is already the quarterfinals for them, so they've one foot in the semi-finals with that very decisive win. You know, Lucescu in the second leg can just play a he could play a D team for all anyone cares, and they'll still progress through Paspan Saragossa, I imagine. And good on them. They know how to win the Greek Cup, Balk, and they if they keep on playing how they're playing right now, they could win even more this season than just the cup.
I'm very jealous of the fluidity of their football and how they play, and just seeing it was almost what Olympiacos was a few years ago when we were winning games 2-3, 4-0, and just doing it with ease, and now you're seeing Balk doing that, and you just kind of it's good time to be a Balk fan, that's for sure, and you know, good on them.
Yeah. Every team has their time, I guess, George.
Look, and it's one of those things that we always talk about where there's no magic bullet here. They've got a coach that's been around for a while. They've got a settled squad. They've got a settled 11, so to speak, or a settled, you know, match day squad, and they just look like they're enjoying themselves and having fun. So, good time for bulk there. So, moving on, Addis, big winners over AEK. They had a one all draw in this match there. So Gasinovic opened up the scoring just before half time. Moron pulled one back in the 58th minute. Then we go into penalties, and they got up. Addis got up 4-2 with Vida and Ponce missing the kicks for AEK, and Fedvadzidis missing one in the middle for the home side. But Fabiano, Moron, Darida, and Verstraete got the winning goals for the winning penalty kicks for Addis. Steve, let's firstly, AEK. I don't think Greg would be, well, Greg wasn't happy, obviously, with the results, but what's going on there, mate?
It's hard to tell, George. I mean, I've been saying it all season. AEK don't look bad by any means, but they don't look quite as good as they did last season. They don't look as cutthroat and decisive in all areas of the pitch, really, as they did last season when obviously they won the title and the cup. And credit to Aris, you know that. Well, AEK found got Aris at a bad time because Aris are flying at the moment in really good form, and they're just as I said last episode, just as Olympiakos are due to face them in Thessaloniki as well in the league. But great for Aris, you know, they progress on to the quarterfinals where I believe they play Nikki Volos. So, you know, unless there's an absolute massive upset in this quarterfinals, Aris you think would progress to the semi-finals too. And look, that with no Europe this season, it's a good little cup run there. They're starting to build up, and who knows? It'd be cool to see them win it. It'd be nice to see someone outside the Big Four win it for a first time in a very long time. I can't remember the last time a non-big side won it. Might have actually been Larissa, to be fair, if I
It
do
was,
recall.
So look, pardon me. I think you're right with AEK. They're not playing bad. They're just not. I think they set a standard. From the outside looking in, they set a standard last year, and they're not, you know, holding on to that standard that they set last year for them, for better or worse. They'd be disappointed to be bombing out of the cup. They'd be bitterly disappointed that they're bombing out of the cup to Aris, even though Aris are playing well. So it'll be interesting to see now that they've, you know, they've dropped out of the European Cup. Sorry, the Europa League. They've dropped out of the Greek Cups, and now they've got all their focus on the league. It'll be interesting to see how they go. I don't know. I don't know. It's lots of football to be played between now and till the end of the season. So we'll wait and see how things pan out for them. As for Addis, well, you know, they would have been disappointed when they didn't make Europe. And obviously things have changed around for them ever since. They're flying, like Michael said. Muntios is bringing his boys back, and he's doing his thing. So, yeah, look, we'll see how they go, see how they progress. The big litmus test for them will be Olympiakos's big litmus test will be against Aris this weekend as well. So we'll see if they've got a hangover
Yeah.
after progressing in the cup, or they've got their head screwed on and ready to make a push in the league and
Probably the latter.
upset the apple cart up, you know, in front of them. If they're not going to win it, the way they're playing, they're definitely going to have a say in who wins it. That's for sure. So, yeah. Good on Aris. Good luck to them for the rest of the season in the cup and the league, and we'll keep an eye on things go for them there. And that goes to the last match of the round of the cup. Sorry, round. Olympiakos and Panathinaikos had a nil all draw, and Panathinaikos progress through 7-6 on penalties. Carvalho had an opportunity after Mladenovic missed it to be the hero. Unfortunately, he stepped up and missed his shot. And the rest is history. Vrsaljic, Kotsiras, Ortega, Vaianidis stepped up. Schenkeveld got his, and Madi Kamara missed his one. I don't think, has it landed yet, Steve?
No, I imagine it's still in the sky somewhere. It's in orbit, and I'm sure it'll fall back down at some point.
It'll come back out eventually. We'll get to the penalties in a second there, but first half, second half, I think even as a one-eyed Olympiacos fan, Panathinaikos probably should have won this match in the 90 minutes.
I would agree. They were
Yeah.
the better side, not by a much.
Not by
Both
much, had
teams weren't really at the races during the day, but sorry, in the full 90 minutes. But Panathinaikos definitely
better
had the
chances.
better opportunities. And if it wasn't for lack of poor finishing, and to be credit to our defense, actually at times not looking too bad. And Baskalakis, especially
Paskalakis.
in added time, man of the match for us. I'll praise him a bit later once we give Panathinaikos some credit. But yeah, and then extra time was when I think we absolutely missed a few huge chances to win it before penalties came, and we didn't take our chances, despite the fact we actually played some okay football in that half an hour period. But yeah, it wasn't to be. And when you get to a 50-50 penalty shootout where it literally could be anyone who goes through, it was on the night, it was Panathinaikos. So congratulations to them, I guess, for getting to the quarterfinals. And we suffer another disappointment this season, of many Georges. So just another day for us this season, I
It
guess.
is another day, unfortunately. Yeah, look, I don't know. We just weren't. Yeah, we were just off the pace a little bit, and we had our chances, like you said. Panathinaikos had some clear cut chances towards, especially towards the end of the match in the 90th minute, in the 90 minutes before the extra time. They didn't put their chances away. We had an opportunity or two. Not as clear cut as it is. And then penalties. Yeah, look, the one thing that is a constant issue, and we've discussed this ad nauseum with regards to our coach, is his inability to change on the fly. And I think that's what's happening there with us, with the team. We just don't have that chance to, I don't know, whatever the word is. We're not, there's no fluidity in what we try to do. We look clunky. We're probably playing the ugliest style of football to date. You know, like I don't remember seeing us playing. It's not nice. There's no, I don't know what we're trying to do. And I'm
No,
worried that
and
the
I
coach
think
doesn't know what he's trying to do. Sorry.
that's what's really worrying, George, because barring like I think the only games that ironically the two games we've won under Carlos Carvajal is, but barring the game against Bakatopola and barring the game against can't even remember who he beat last week. It's been Kvisha. Barring Kvisha, where he actually made substitutions and they made a difference, you know, with Gelson Martins coming on and getting the assist for the winner for El Arabi in that game. His substitutions have been poor to just non-existent, because he made one substitute, one, I believe it was one substitute he made in the 90 minutes before added time. And a lot of people have kind of highlighted since his appointment. Diego Martinez is a thing of the past, but at least we knew what he was trying to do with the team. And
Yes.
while we had some really disappointing results that were horrific, Freiburg being the big one, as well as Balkan Gaiskaki, we still knew what kind of football Martinez was trying to play with us and what he was trying to build, and we were building something. Doesn't feel like we're building anything now with Carlos
Well, we're
Carvajal.
definitely not building anything now.
I don't know
We're
what we're doing. And look, I'm not saying to sack him, because a lot of people have said that, and I don't think he's better than Martinez, but again, we can't rehire Martinez unless he wants to come back. Please do. But there we go. I don't know what direction we're going in. And he said after the game, oh, we're focusing now on the league and on the Europa Conference League. I'm just thinking, we're not going to do anything either if we keep playing the way we are right now. Like we're a shambles, barring a few players who are trying to step up. Like I said, credit to Baskalakis. If we didn't have a defense, if we had a good defense, he would be way less under pressure. But he's doing despite that. Rodinei as well at right back, excellent.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he performs the way he does at times. Obviously, Fortuny's has been up and down recently, but you can tell he cares and he does give 110%. And Mascuras too, work rate excellent. And that's the most. And Pudence, you know what? A lot of people are giving Pudence flack, and to be fair, he's not been in good form, but you can tell he also cares as well. Like, it's not like he's not putting the effort in. It's just that what he was doing earlier in the season isn't quite hitting, and maybe that's because he's still carrying an injury that he's not fully over yet. But I don't, it's just a mess, George. It's just an
It
absolute
is.
mess. And
It is.
I don't know if we'll recover for next season, because it felt like, at least with like 17, 18, when we were bad, Pedro Martins comes in first season. Yes, we didn't title, but you could see what was being built, and there was a project, and he was given time, even though there was a lot of people shouting for him to be sacked after we got knocked out of the cup in that season. But we went and built something and had an amazing period with him.
It's
And people who
yeah.
complained during that time didn't know what we had. Because
Well, I
look
like
where
that.
we are
No
now.
one ever knows what you've got until it's gone. So
No.
we can worry. Yeah, look, I don't know. You got to give credit to Panathinaikos. Give credit to their coach. He has steeled that side like nothing. They had the central defenders playing striker. They had left backs playing right mid, whatever. They just put a patched out team out together, and then they just absolutely did what they needed to do there. My worry is for Olympiacos moving forward. Panathinaikos is struggling to put an 11 out as well. And we look like Fortunis came off limping, was iced up straight away. So there's a worry for him. Navarro's doesn't look like he might. There's an injury cloud around him as well. So who knows? Moving on. Congratulations, Panathinaikos. Hopefully Olympiacos can do what they need to do. As for the coach, I think for Olympiacos and all the transfer rumors that are coming through, I think that he will be there till the end of the season. I don't think that the coach is making any of these plays for players. I think it's a technical
Sporting
director.
director.
Yep, and I think they're just building something and they're just waiting, biding their time. Greg, Kalimera.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear
Hey,
you. Good.
Greg.
Yeah, good to see you joined on. Just missed the us talking about Aik and Aris, but
I sort of make a 10-minute cameo just in
no,
case the A game came up.
the floor is yours, mate. How did you see that match?
I think we're probably a little better than Aris on the game, but our attack has really hasn't been anything like what it was last year. We've got a lot of players out of form. Gacinovic is he scored, but he's basically just not nothing like what he was last year. Araujo, he's come back from injury, very quiet and just not what he used to be. We just don't have that dynamic and attack that we had last year, and we don't press like we did last year, which also makes a big difference. Aris was still quite good, though. I've got to give credit to them. They're a pretty good team, and yeah, 15th is still that kid. Still, he's still a pretty dangerous player, man. So
Oh,
I'm quite impressed that he's still got a fair bit to offer that kid.
It's we were talking about it. We're just talking about it before. I don't think you guys are out of form. It's just I think you guys maybe have hit some standards last year, which you're not hitting this year. I think that's probably more my take on your club at the moment. And that's taking away nothing from Artis, but I think you guys did so well last year, and you're not achieving what you were achieving last season.
No, look, mate, the players we have and what they, I mean, they showed what they're capable of last year, and they don't have, they're not showing that form this year. So the other thing I've noticed is I think the central attack and midfield position just hasn't combined as well as it has in the other years, like last year, sorry. But the other thing was, as soon as that game went to penalty shootouts, I knew we were in trouble because Athanasiadis, we're talking about out of form. This guy is nothing like what he was just a few seasons ago. He had that loan spell, I think it was in Moldova or wherever it was. But once we went to penalties, I knew he would, we had very small chance, especially Aris, who have a very good, the Spanish keeper, Hector, is fantastic. Some interesting stats for AEK. Vida took our first penalty. That's his second penalty in his career. His last one was well over 10 years ago. So I don't know why we got him to take the first penalty, and it was a very bad penalty. Ponce has only taken a few. I mean, he's a striker, so I wasn't surprised to see him take a penalty, but he hasn't. He's been, for what we paid for him to what he's been on the field, it's been an absolute disaster. And what was the other stuff? Oh, so back on Athanasiadis, he has saved, in his career, he's saved 4 penalties out of 33. So he's got a 12% success rate, which just confirmed what I knew. We were in trouble once that game went to penalties. So pretty disappointing, but we hopefully it's a big wake-up call to the team and Almeida, and we can really focus on the championship, make some smarter moves. Amrabat is getting a lot of game time at AEK, and I think we'd rather be seeing Eliasson get some game time on that right wing. And we haven't even been mentioned with any transfers. So I would love to see another fullback come in.
That Vignoli move is what, just paper talk, you reckon?
Nah, I don't think that's happening. Right now, I'd probably take him because for me, Athanasiadis is just so out of form. Stankovic is good, but he even struggles with when it comes to the playing out with feet and stuff like that. So I would probably, if it's not, I wouldn't want to offer him a huge salary, but I would probably take him, especially about Athanasiadis.
Oh, look, if he's been banished like they have, and they're not going to get any kind of large transfer fee out of him, so I don't think it'll be interesting to see what happens with that goalkeeper and whether news is true there for you. So out of the cup, out of Europe, concentrate full time now on the league, Greg. What do you think needs to happen? What do you think will happen?
Well, first of all, by doing that, hopefully our injury count reduces because we've copped the injuries pretty bad. We even had Pineda playing at a right back or left back for a little while there. So hopefully the injuries reduce, people get more game time to be able to get their form back. So that dynamic as a whole will hopefully pick things up drastically. And I think it's a huge wake-up call to the players. As good as we are individually and as good as what we did last year, we need to put that all together and do it this year. And we're definitely still in the championship, so huge motivation to just pick everything up and do that. Hopefully, another transfer or two. I would definitely want to see that and get some improvement in defense and a little bit in attack, just to create more competitiveness for some positions. And the other big thing, finishing our chances. That's been a huge, huge issue this season, and just the just way too laid back when it comes to opportunities.
Yeah, you had 16 shots at goal, 8 on target. So, and only one.
Yeah, the 8 on target's actually a huge improvement from past games. but we have to finish. We really need to finish our chances. That's been this season. It's been I think we had this picture a few seasons back, but this season it's been huge. Huge reason why we haven't gained as many points as we should have.
Yeah. Oh, well. We can't take anything away from Artis, who are flying at the moment under Muntios. Commiserations to your side, a bit like our side, Olympiacos, just weren't good on the day and have been a bit off the pace of late anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how you guys now, just purely focusing on the league,
Good test this weekend.
because obviously, you know, the coach and the club are going to want to win the league. That is without a hand, you know, that is their aim. So, Favumi. Guys, just out of curiosity, just something that I noticed as well. Just Greg was on his earpods, reversing his car into the driveway whilst talking. And he did it all in whilst concentrating there. And he's got his Ferrari polo shirt.
2018 Australian Supercar champion for no reason.
And he's got his Ferrari polo shirt on there. So it was a sight for sore eyes. Anyway, all right, we'll go through. We'll do a quick update on. A quick preview of the Super League matches coming up this weekend. Lamia Kifisia kick off the round. Pasianina Panseraikos. Ofi Panetolikos, that'll be an interesting one there. Volos hosting Paok. Paok, the way they're playing, they should steamroll them. Greg, you said interesting match, and it is. High-flying Atromitos, who did drop points the other day, host AEK in a bit of a Athens derby there. You're going to want to win this game. You're going to have to win this game. I think there's no...
Right, we have to, but we've got a very good team in Atromitos. But we should have the quality to beat them as well, so... you know, it's a big restart, I think, for everyone to focus on this championship and start winning. I mean, we win. We're good at winning derbies. We drop points against the other teams. So we've got to start winning these games. It's a good test for everyone. So I'm looking forward to the game, and I really hope we get the result that we need to be a huge motivational boost and positive energy for the guys after such a disappointing exit from the Cup.
Yeah, no, absolutely there. Panathinaikos hosting Astera. So Panathinaikos should get the biscuits. It's not a gimme that man, because Asteras are high flying as well. It'll be interesting to see what type of lineup Panathinaikos put out in this match as well, because they're busted up with injuries. And Stephen Aris host our Olympiacos. I fear we're not going to get a result here. I don't know I genuinely don't know what's going to happen in this game, Steve.
Yeah, George, the pessimism's really setting in for me now. Probably because it is cold here, but also just because we're playing Aris at the worst possible time. I think we've had that a lot with teams lately. Like, we played Lamia at the worst possible time, we played Atromitos at the worst possible time, and now we're playing Aris at the worst possible time. And on top of that, we have a lot of injuries. Biancon is a doubt, Navarro is a doubt, Richards is still out.
Is Fortunis, anything said about Fortunis? Because he came
Fortunis,
off.
I don't think
up.
So. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, to be honest, it would probably give the players a good kick up the backside if Fortunis is not there, because they have to actually try and do something without him. But it's going to be a tough place to go. If we get a result, it's not the end of the world. But judging on how we've been playing and how Aris have been playing, it's unlikely. But look, we got to hope. And. It just piles more pressure on Carvajal and the players if they don't get anything
does.
From this.
Yeah. Greg?
Just an interesting one that I've been thinking about my team, and maybe you guys have some, maybe have had this sort of the back of your minds, but I also feel that the no crowds has dropped our tempo a fair bit.
100%.
Look, it's been shit, eh?
The way it's kind of sad, because all the clubs copped it for something that wasn't obviously their fault, right? So, and then you've got this, you know, like if you look at your any club there, you've got these big, beautiful stadiums, or you've got these passionate fans, and they can't go and watch their team because of dramas that didn't concern them there. So it's a shame. It is. It sucks the life out of all these matches. You are 100%.
It's sad. We had COVID period, and you know, everyone went through the sadness of watching football behind closed stadiums, and here we are in Greece, you know, blocking fans for up to 2 months for something they didn't even do.
And I've been thinking about this for ages. This is like putting a friggin' rabid dog in a cage, doing this with the fans. It's not. Yeah. It's doing absolutely nothing other than pissing them off and making them more angry. So what do they think that's going to happen when are fans allowed again back in the stadiums? Who even knows?
Well, February 12th.
Okay, February 12th. So we've got another three or so weeks of no games, no fans. Do they think that the fans are going to be like, all right, we've learned our lesson, we're going to dot our I's and cross our T's, and we're going to sit there like good kids at Sunday school? come on. Like, all they've done is pissed off more people, and all they've done is Well, what they've done is essentially given the clowns and the hooligans and the idiots what they want.
That's right. The part of this whole thing about this whole shutdown has been to improve the security measures of letting fans in. So I think ID cards and stuff like that are all meant to have been introduced. And something I read back when this first came in. So let's see if anything like that is implemented.
But they said that, they said that ages ago as well, Greg. They've said that, oh, we're going to, you know, ID cards are going to implement. The problem isn't the implementation of that. The problem is, like they've seen, is that a lot of the security and all that are bought from, you know, they're all part of these groups.
Well, and that's the big thing that needs to improve. So this has been a specific shut. They've shut the gates specifically for everyone for this reason. So there's just huge. There's probably has never been so much focus on that. And you know, this is what the Greek government and therefore have decided to do, especially mainly the Greek government. It's going to be pretty embarrassing if we come back with fans and first derby where there's something a little bit controversial and some idiot does something and the other part was CCTV that's meant to be that whole thing, which is what we probably see. I know in Australia, you know, one of the reasons we don't have so much crowd trouble is you throw something on that field, you're busted. The cops got you. You're prosecuted. Yeah, you're banned for some time, and you copped a huge fine. You got to pay it. Whereas it probably doesn't work like that in Greece. So that whole thing needs to is another thing I think that they're looking at.
If like you that one, they're not going to give them. Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot to unpack here. But
well, just based on the fixtures as well, I've been having a look. So fans come back for match day 24. So that'll be the 17th of February. There are no major games. In those last 3 weeks of fixtures, the biggest ones you could say are AEK, Aris hosting AEK and Ofi hosting Panathinaikos. But other than that, there aren't any derbies left until the playoffs. So it's going to be the playoffs now to when we'll see if this kind of exclusion of fans has made a difference for the better or for worse. So we'll have to wait in for at least towards the end of the month to see what will happen in that circumstance, I guess.
I hope they get it right. I'm not holding my breath. With how
they're going to
do things. So, but yeah, they've killed momentum. They've killed fans. They've killed anything that. And it's very typical of Greece, you know. Like let's bury our head in the sand as opposed to trying to deal with situations like this. Nothing's changed in the last 20 years, 30 years with fans and violence in Greece and in all sporting events. So to think that you can just, you know, shut the fans out for a couple of months and try to implement something that you should have implemented 25 years ago, and they've been doing it in every other country. Like, put your CCTV up, like you said. Have enough people working the gates to be able to stop these people coming in. Have people that, you know, like... I don't know. I'm going on a rant here, so I don't know. But you're 100% right, Greg. No fans have sucked the life out of games. And would the results have been a little bit different? Maybe, maybe not. But you certainly would. You'll never know. You know, you guys would have packed out your stadium. We would have packed out our stadium, you know, against Panathinaikos. So that's, you know, then...
I do think that a result of two or three would have been different, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. So
it is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. Guys, thank you. Little midweek podcast. Thanks for coming on, Greg.
Good. You're ending at the perfect time for me. Thanks.
So we'll have to tell the people when we post this up to listen to our review of your match, but wait for Greg to come on and give his as well. So
yeah, cool.
Steve, always a pleasure.
Cheers, George. Same.
All right, guys. Thank you again. Thank you. This is our last midweek podcast. We're just going to go back now to the weekly format as we do at the end of every round. So thanks for listening. Have a great day, guys. And once again, if you get an opportunity, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform that you listen to us. And that would be amazing. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.